Things getting a little more interesting in the World Series. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's just one win, but the Yankees avoid the sweep last night, Pearl, and the Dodgers still have the clear advantage here. But you do have Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees. And if the Yankees are able to win this game, I think all the pressure in the world now goes on the Dodgers.
Yeah, I don't know, though, because, all right, say it does get to 3-2. Then you have two games at home. I think early on in the series, the Yankees were feeling pressured. If it gets to 3-2, like the Yankees go out, you think they're going to be able to stay loose for this whole thing?
I think so, because 0-3 is rock bottom. Well, I mean, getting swept is rock bottom. But, you know, if you can't play a little bit looser at 0-3, and the bats got going last night, they scored 11 runs last night, and I was totally against putting out Luis Gil and not using Gerrit Cole yesterday, but I will take accountability. I'm proven wrong here, because now that they've won a game, now you have your ace on the mound. They should win this game. And I know that the Dodger fans are probably going to be pumped up and positive. If the Yankees, by the way, can even get this back to LA, they'll be pumped up and positive. But you never know how a team's going to respond, where now you feel like you're in the must-win game. Now you feel like it's, you know, you're thinking now everything you have to lose, while the Yankees could be looking at everything they have to gain because everyone counted them out.
Yeah, you're right. You know, the one thing about the Dodgers, they have a lot of guys who've been here before and won.
That's,
you know,
true.
Mookie's a champion. Freeman's a champion. The Yankees, to help me out, I don't think there are any championship players. So it does feel like
Anthony Rizzo won with the Cubs.
Okay, that's one good one. Yeah, but generally, though, the Dodgers don't seem like a team that is set up for a massive failure. Of course, is what you always say until the team has a massive failure. You wouldn't have said that really about the 0-4 Yankees.
No way.
But the Dodgers seem like in a good position. First of all, they have Freddie Freeman as Superman. One thing is, is Shohei a problem? Is he a help or a hindrance here?
Well, his shoulder is obviously, something's going wrong. He's literally holding on to it while he's running, like as if it's going to pop out and fall down like it's a Mr. Potato Head or something. He has to hold on to it while he's running, while he's sliding. He was able to get a hit last night, but he's obviously compromised.
Let me ask you this question. If you're the Dodgers, knowing what you just said, that they could be tight if they get the series of 3-2, do you really go all out with your bullpen and maybe even throw a starter out there in the bullpen, treat tonight like a must-win game?
I think you should, but I don't think Dave Roberts will.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But they have Jack Flaherty going tonight, so he, Walker Buehler, and Yamamoto are really their guys, and then after that they go to bullpen games, which is why everyone thought they were so vulnerable to begin with, and it turns out not really. Now, last night, the Yankees get to them, and you wonder if Aaron Judge getting a hit and Volpe with the big grand slam and Gleyber Torres hits a 3-run home run, do they start believing a little bit? Because they were getting bubkis from everyone else in the lineup except for Stanton and a little bit from Soto. So I just beg and plead and pray and hope and all of the wishful things that if the Yankees do start this historic comeback, please do not credit the two jabronis who were in foul territory in the front row who interfered with Mookie Betts. Those guys do not deserve the credit and the clout. Those guys are what's wrong with fan behavior, not what's right.
Unfortunately, you have no say in this, and you know it's going to happen.
I feel like it's already happening. I'm swimming upstream because I'm seeing stories written about it.
You root for a team who had their season turned around by a giant purple fast food restaurant mascot.
That was Grimace. One thing.
That's classy.
This is almost equal to Grimace.
No, I'd say is as low class, I guess, as Hawktua, but she's kind of turned out to have a pretty good sense of humor. This is about these two guys. And may I please read a little more for you about these air quotes heroes. Austin Capobianco is 38 years old. He got kicked out of the game last night along with his friend, Peter. He's a season ticket holder. And you guys remember, this is the first inning where these two yahoos, literally one guy rips the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove. I mean, what is wrong with you? And the other guy is grabbing Mookie Betts by the wrist, his other wrist, putting his hands on a Major League Baseball player who's trying to make a play because they said, this is our area. Like, what is wrong with you? Anyway, he said, we always joke about the ball coming in our area, he said at a local bar after the game. We're not going to go out of our way to attack. If it's in our area, we're going to D it up.
Wait, this is at a local bar?
they got kicked out of the game, so I'm assuming they went to Billy's or Stan's or whatever right outside the stadium and probably sat there and got free drinks all night.
Jeez.
I know.
They needed more drinks. Oh
yeah,
my gosh.
I don't know. It was just so beyond stupid. But, Perloff, they can't get credit. Mm. I'm not giving it to them.
So,
this is about...
Are you even willing to go as far to say you're rooting for the Dodgers tonight just to avoid this possible scenario?
I wasn't. I didn't really have a rooting interest. You and I made picks.
You're watching on YouTube. Does anyone notice that Maggie's wearing a particularly Dodger blue top tonight?
I didn't even plan it that way. No, I had no rooting interest in this whatsoever. And yeah, I think I'm on the Dodgers now because of this.
Dodger Mags.
But the problem is Anthony Volpe grew up like right around where I live now. So you'd think I'd feel a little for the hometown guy. But and he was great last night.
You guys know I'm all about the Dodgers in the series. I'm not going to lie to you. I hate seeing my coworkers be happy, and there are a lot of Yankees fans around here. I can't deal with that. If the Yankees win, then they walk around their office like they own the place. I hate it. There's nothing, and at least I'm consistent about this. I do not want to see my friends and coworkers have their teams win and not mine.
What a guy.
It is the most consistent thing about you.
I can't help it. Like, if I tried to pretend I was happy for your Miami Hurricanes, it just wouldn't come out right.
No, but he'll say Cam Ward's my guy.
I know.
Cam Ward, I've been a Cam Ward. I actually would watch his games at Incarnate Word on the internet. It was this illegal stream.
Wow, that is like saying I saw Nirvana in a coffee shop in 1989.
By the way, Cam Ward's your guy. Miami just got there 6 weeks ago.
No.
He's EJ's guy. But this is the most consistent thing about you is you're like really... Really hoping that your friends and coworkers don't see any kind of joy.
I actually would. I would genuinely root for the Buffalo Bills in any other situation if I did not work with you, because they are a very easy team to root for. But nope, can't have you, because it's immediately like you fall down a peg when your friend walks in with his or her chest out saying like, "I won last night." It makes you feel bad. Of course, you've got to root against your friends if they root for different teams.
But wait a minute, the Eagles made the Super Bowl, and I was so pumped for you.
Get out of here.
I was.
I don't recall that at all.
Well, I didn't want the Chiefs to win again.
You said so many mean things about the Eagles. You're like, yeah, classy fans. Like, you've never said three nice things about the Philadelphia Eagles.
You threw batteries at Santa. I didn't do that.
No. I threw snowballs at Santa.
Same.
Get it right, Bills fan.
Yeah, like the Bills fans aren't exactly a...
Wait. You think you've been thrilled for me by the Eagles fans? You say so many accurate and and negative things about the Philly. Well, look at what you said. Let's look at your record on Nick Sirianni.
Oh, well, that guy's a doofus. But that I'm very consistent.
Then what is it that you've said that is nice about the Eagles?
I felt like I was brainstorming how to get you a ticket to the Super Bowl. You know, when you were like, how are we going to get you a ticket? Remember?
No. And by the way,
we're brainstorming.
How would I get a credential to this?
That too, credential. I was super supportive of all that.
I don't recall that.
I have dementia. Yeah.
I feel like I don't get what Pearl's saying, but I feel like it would make more sense if it was teams that are rivals. So like, you're not rooting for the Mets. I totally get it.
Yes, we don't root for the Phillies around here.
A lot of your teams are rivals of mine. Generally, there's a lot of Mets fans where we work, and I'm a Phillies fan. There's a lot of Knicks fans, hate the Knicks.
Yeah.
There's Giants fans, a longtime rival.
What's the beef with the Miami Hurricanes then?
Yeah, a lot of attitude with the Hurricanes.
Oh, gosh.
A lot of cockiness.
Bills, Miami, there's no beef between the Bills and Eagles.
There's beef between Bills and Miami, though. There's beef between what used to be back in the Big East is Syracuse and Miami.
Right, that's old school.
Oh, get out of here.
Well, I mean, we're talking about old stuff here.
Syracuse and Miami have beef from what?
They're being
in the Big East. In football. Well,
right.
I mean, Syracuse wasn't really holding the candle.
Yeah, I mean, in the list of college football rivalries, that's as close to the bottom as we're ever going to get.
Yeah, but you also had Dolphins and Bills. So it was like two upstate New York / South Florida things.
Yeah, in 1993.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not today. It's not a wild ACC.
But you don't have a beef with either the Bills or the Canes. There is no correlation between Dartmouth and Miami.
You can understand one thing.
Say that again. Sorry, Miami.
No, Miami's hard to get into now. It's an elite school. But Yankees fans, it's not just about rooting against my coworkers. It is, Yankees fans can get awfully full of themselves. And I think you kind of saw that last night. Like, there is something about the evil empire feel is sneaking back into this.
Yeah, well, and these two guys are the worst example of this because you have this spotlight and people are like, oh, this is Jeffrey Mayer, you know, going back to 1995 ALCS, right? 95, 96 ALCS against the Orioles. 96, thank you, with Tony Tarasco and that whole thing. This is not that. This was foul territory. That at least was a home run. And we didn't have replay back then. There was no recourse. Now you're going to look at the thing from 100 different angles. This is just beyond stupid of these guys. But according to them, talking to ESPN, these two dudes who got ejected from the game last night, they said they'll be allowed back in the stadium tonight. So it's their word, and the Yankees have not confirmed or denied.
Well, we're going to find out. It's going to be the one thing to watch. First inning, I assume they'll pan to that part of the foul line.
Oh my gosh, if those guys are there, this is going to be like that Super Bowl when they couldn't stop putting the camera on Kurt Warner's wife. But for the worst reason, she got some love for the best reasons.
Yeah, why is Brenda Warner taking shrapnel from these two idiots?
I'm just saying, that's the most memorable one to me where they kept panning to a fan besides AJ McCarron's wife.
Or maybe Taylor Swift.
Taylor gets a lot of airtime, but she's the most famous person in the world besides, you know.
True.
Kate Middleton or something. I don't know. Anywho, 855-212-4227. Clint is in Texas, wants to talk about bad fan behavior. We have a poll up right now at Maggie and Pearl. Is fan behavior worse now than it was back in the day? Hey, Clint.
Hey, guys. Hey, if they let those guys back in the stadium, they're obviously connected. There's no doubt.
They're made
men. All right, the weirdest and saddest tap out I've ever seen was when Tyson bit Holyfield's ear.
Oh, that's great one, Clint. How do we miss that one?
I don't know.
Desperate.
To me, that
he was cornered.
Like, crazy. Hey, do you guys, I was reading a story last year, came across this story, and I just could not believe what I was reading. 1974, the title of the story was Why Major League Baseball Ended 10 Cent Beer Night. It was in Cleveland.
Yep.
They ran out of beer. The fans overturned the beer truck, and then they started a riot, went out on the field, and were attacking the Rangers players. And the Indians players, their manager told them to grab bats and go out on the field and defend the Rangers players. I mean, holy cow.
Oh, my gosh. Clint, I didn't know about that. I've heard of, like, obviously the Disco Derby Demolition. That was in Detroit, right?
Chicago,
Demolition Night.
I thought I was living in an alternate reality that I'd never even heard that story before. I was thinking, is this guy making this stuff up? So,
10 Cent Beer Night. I'm seeing here an oral history of 10 Cent Beer Night written by Cleveland Magazine back in May. We'll definitely check that out. When Clint was talking about Mike Tyson, though, I want to make sure we're bringing the audience all up to speed if you're just joining us. Our great debate today on this Wednesday is what's the worst tap outs in the history of sports? Anthony Richardson took himself out of the game on Sunday. Got us thinking about players who quit.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, did Tyson, was he quitting or was he trying to win the fight by biting off his ear?
No, Tyson said after he didn't train properly.
Yeah.
Like, he was just desperate and wanted a way out.
Yeah. Oh, so he was ending the fight right there. I think I don't think he thought anything. I think he was just caught up in the moment. The ear was right there and he chomped down.
Well, that's the thing about Tyson. You'll believe anything.
Yeah, no, I don't think that was thought out at any. So you're saying instead of just quitting, he decided to bite his ear. That was where his thinking was.
Yeah, he said that.
That's what he said.
And also remember, he was warned earlier in the fight for biting, or in that same round, I think. So he actually bit him. Late Mills Lane says, hey, like, stop biting, dude. And then he bit his ear off.
I don't think it's rational, though. I think it's like Grayson Allen kicking guys in the junk. I think it was just like one of those like compulsive moments.
A lot of people would always say Evander Holyfield did a lot of headbutting. And so he would kind of, that was sort of his way to get under people's skin. But Tyson was, he didn't take the fight seriously enough. I think at that point, not training.
I mean, come on, Tyson Buster Douglas is the ultimate.
Well.
Talk about a real time. By the way, did we mention Sonny Liston?
The fan of punch.
Yeah, I mean, boxing probably has a lot of fishy knockouts. I don't know if those are tap outs or those illegal throwing the fight.
855-212-4227. All right, keep them coming. The worst tap outs in the history of sports is our great debate today. You can tell us about, Do you think the Yankees are getting back in this thing? And if they win tonight, does all the pressure go now on to the Dodgers? Do they start to get a little tight? Got a series on our hands. It's Maggie and Perloff. All right, Perloff. You and I don't even have conversations anymore. There's no hi, hello. There's no good morning. It's just how'd your prize picks do last night? This is it. This is our whole relationship boiled down to Prize Picks. And, you know, it's the best move we ever made because Prize Picks is the place to get real money sports action while watching the NBA, football, World Series. You got 10 million members, billions of dollars in awarded winnings. And Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. Simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, then just pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money.
Yeah, so I wake up this morning. What's the first thing I do? I don't go to the bathroom. I don't hug my wife. I immediately look to see what Jonathan Kuminga did last night. 17 points. I picked under 19.5. Hello. Prize Picks even invented the flex play, so you can cash out if one of your picks doesn't hit. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app and use code MNP to get a $50 credit instantly when you play just $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
This one goes out to all the lonely hearts, including 7-time Super Bowl champion Thomas Edward Brady. Turns out Giselle's pregnant with the jiu-jitsu instructor's kid. And Tom Brady took to Instagram to post lyrics to Landslide. I hope someone's calling this guy to check on him. This is kind of extreme, right? And a little too on the nose. It's not subtle.
No, I think it shows an emotional maturity. Like, he can handle the seasons of his life. Like, he's the mature one here. Like, she's obviously, like, this is not painting a good picture for Giselle.
You think it's mature to put this on social media?
Yeah.
Like, they have two kids together.
Maggie, I don't think you understand the point of the song. It's about resilience.
I know. I get it. There's no other interpretation you can have for this. I'm just wondering, why is he putting it out there for the whole world? Why not just, you know, let this one go?
That's interesting. I don't know.
They're divorced now. Like, maybe she can just sort of live her life and he can kind of live his.
But it's sort of, I mean, the one thing is the story is out there everywhere. Like, it's all over the tabloids. It's not like he can make the story go away by ignoring it.
No, but he also doesn't have to acknowledge it in any way. There's no way this is a coincidence. He just wanted to post lyrics to Landslide for some other thing. Yeah, issues with Burkhart? Like, I don't think that's what's going on here.
Yeah, I don't know. I understand what you're saying, but like, it's not like Tom Brady gets dinged for this. Like, who cares?
Oh, no, no. Yeah. I'm just surprised he would put it out there. This is the headline from New York Magazine. Yeah, Tom Brady is going through it.
Yeah, I mean...
Call a friend.
I read the story the other day. It was the lead story on the New York Post. Tom Brady didn't know about the pregnancy until basically everyone else found out. And he doesn't... And apparently, according to this, a source close to a source says that they don't really talk.
They're divorced. Does she owe him that?
Well, it's very, if there was any doubt about who cheated on who, now it's 100% clear that Giselle screwed up the whole, like, this finalized, like, Giselle's the bad guy and he's the good guy. And that when you're the good guy,
it's that cut and dry, is it?
Now it is. Maybe it wasn't before. Now it's 100% cut and dry.
There's nothing about him saying, I'll retire, and then flaking on that 30 days later.
So you sleep with your jiu-jitsu instructor because your football player or husband goes back to playing football?
Well, first of all, we don't know if they actually cheated, but the second part is there's a little gray area on the timeline. But he didn't keep a promise, which was to put your family before football. And he broke that promise. I can understand why you might be fed up with that. And you're worried for his health and all of that.
Are you being serious right now? Are you saying that it's okay to cheat on him because he went back to football?
We don't know if she was actually cheating on him. You don't know that, and I don't know
she's
that.
She's having a baby with a dude who is her jiu-jitsu instructor.
First of all, they got divorced and been separated a while ago. So the baby is definitely not happening while they were married. And I would just, well, let's go back. Listen, this is their own private relationship. They've become very, that became very public because they're so famous. But I would just venture a guess that we have no idea what could have happened in the past. I mean, look at how they met. Bridget Moynihan was literally having Tom Brady's baby, and he broke up with her for Giselle. So I just, people are people. I don't, to start assigning blame, I guess is where I'm going with this, is I think is not a, not right. This is funny, guys. This is funny. Tom Brady's posting lyrics to Landslide on Instagram. We can't laugh at this.
Right, but definitely like, wait, Bogus, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, obviously Giselle is not looking good in this one.
No, and but we have no idea what actually happened. This is
Everybody knows Giselle had an affair with a jiu-jitsu instructor.
Right, but
that's
she...
like common, that's the common take.
Okay.
That's what everybody thinks.
Because of the roast, we don't know the actual timeline.
We also don't know if, let's just say they did have a relationship. It could have been the result of Brady letting her down and her being over with him, or it could have been the reason that she was using the other story as a cover for her infidelity. We don't know.
Right.
It's on the table that she just wanted, she just liked this guy, and then we're like, oh, you lied to me about playing, Tom. I'm going to leave you, looking for sympathy. Or she could have been like heartbroken because Brady didn't do what he said he was going to do, and that pushed her into the arms of a jiu-jitsu instructor.
Oh my God. Making a going back on a career promise and cheating on your husband, like the two are not equivalent to me. Like there's nothing that can happen. Like, yeah, infidelity is far worse. Like any divorce and in court, trust me, like she would not have a leg to stand on just because he said he wasn't going to play football anymore. Who cares?
Well, I think we can all agree on this. When people get divorced, it's never for one thing.
It usually is cheating.
Well,
like I'd say 75% of the time.
Always a lot of things that contribute to it. Because some people have infidelity and they don't get divorced. So
Right. But the infidelity out trumps everything, right?
It's just so funny because as we're talking about this, there's literally a tour that's coming through the radio station. We're talking about that. I just think it's hilarious to me. Not hilarious. I'm not laughing at his pain, but I kind of am. Just how Tom Brady would be this on the nose about the story comes out that Giselle's having a baby with someone else, and he's posting the words to a song that's like so well known for trying to get over a breakup.
I think we got this all wrong. I think he is trolling everybody. I think he thinks that everyone, because as soon as you hear about the pregnancy, everybody's gonna be like, "Well, what does Tom Brady think? He's smart enough. This guy's his own corporation."
Yeah.
And Tom Brady, he's in the roast game. He kind of likes being a guy's guy.
That's true.
I think he's like, these people really think I'm going to be, you know, messed up over a divorce and now this pregnancy. Let me just have fun with them. He showed a sunset and this song lyrics on there. I mean, he's so obviously trolling everybody, being like, guys, it's fine.
Also,
I don't care.
How many supermodels has Tom Brady been linked to they got divorced, since the day the ink was dry?
He was probably with Irina Shayk when he posted that.
Yeah, he's an Uber driver on the side. He just takes them when they need to go.
Right. You guys don't think Tom Brady was upset by this news?
I think he's like, whatever. I think he's done. I think he's done with that.
I think they're both done with each other.
Right. So he's like, oh, everyone thinks I'm so caught up. Okay. I'm going to do the cheesiest thing possible, the most non-self-aware thing possible, and then let's see how many people believe it. And the people believe it.
Do you think has that good of a sense of humor?
I think he does.
Or somebody around him does?
Or someone does, yeah. I think so.
And now they're enjoying all the sympathy.
Yeah.
Because people think he's now been,
win-win.
Cuckolded?
Yeah.
That's a great word.
That is the word. It's a win-win.
Can we put out as a poll? Is Tom Brady, maybe this is too much explaining. Tom Brady's Instagram post, real or troll job?
I just think a couple things. I personally think you guys are way off on a couple things. The idea that there's a reason for infidelity other than like something really bad, like, come on. I think Brady is lit. Like that roast was... Jokes are out of logic. You don't think that like this is a big problem for Tom Brady that his wife cheated on him? Like that is a huge issue. And I don't even, if you make a joke out of it, that's a joke out of desperation.
I think
he's totally embarrassed.
I don't think
this.
Kevin Hart, there could not be a better joke. I mean, there can't be a more scathing joke than what happened at the roast. Like every way you could dissect this has been dissected.
Yeah, but I still feel like he was sitting there uncomfortable. Like it's not good. Like, can you guys imagine if your partner cheated on you and everybody knew it? It's like the worst scenario, impossible, I think.
I'm just trying to remember the roast. How many of the jokes were explicitly about being cheated on or just running to the jiu-jitsu guy after the breakup? Like that was the rebound.
No, they were all about being cheated on, as I recall.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I just remember the
thing
about
the relationship.
I just remember the
thing
about the bruises. And I was like, that is just so wrong. And also how Pete Pilotti was very much right on the nose about this one. He said it was a terrible look that Tom would, you know, have the mother of his children kind of hang her out to dry.
Oh, but you know what? Pete might have a different tune this morning with this news that she's pregnant with the other guy's baby. I'm not sure how Pete handles that.
If he's going to stay consistent, he should say that this is wrong. He should say that that Giselle is breaking up the family, making things more complicated.
Right, can't do this to the kids. Right. They're not ready. They just lost their dad, just moved out of the house, and now you're having a new baby with a new guy. That's where he'd go here.
Oh man,
that's definitely the Bilotti.
No
take.
Friend of Giselle.
See, I think it's the other way. It's like if you're gonna let's say that it was cheating, but say then you actually then you're with that person long term. It's like, all right, they really were meant to be. I think that's a happier ending. It wasn't just a fling. It wasn't for nothing. They're in love with each other, having a baby together.
I don't think if your husband left you today and 6 months from now with the same woman was engaged having a kid, you would not in any way.
I'd be happy for him.
Yeah. Well,
that makes sense.
Wait, bro, you don't think there's any
I'm doing the Angela Bassett light his car on fire,
sharpening
throwing
your knife.
The keys behind me as I walk away in my bathroom. Yeah.
Maybe I listen to way too many hip-hop podcasts, but, bro, you don't think there's any chance that someone could have been in even a serious relationship with somebody and then just not care what happens after it's over? I see a lot of men talk about it, say, I don't care, whatever.
There's a lot of, I mean, isn't that the worst nightmare that, you know, is that an okay word to say, cuckold? Like, that's not what you want to be. Like, that's famously throughout the history of literature and stuff, like, that's the worst thing you can be. It means you're just, like, totally the other person's inferior.
Well, that's true. I think maybe you're right that cheating angle makes it different. But just the idea of once your relationship is over with somebody, even if it was very serious, that whatever they do after, you just don't care.
Right,
I feel like a lot of rappers would be like, I don't care what that.
Well, it's kind of hard when you have kids with the person. Like,
no. If Tom Brady cheated on her, and then he wouldn't care at all. But the fact that she allegedly cheated on him makes it worse. Like if he cheated on her and she broke up with him and then she goes and finds a new husband, that's great. Brady's psyched about that. But that's not what's happening here, according to rumor mills.
I just thought it was funny that he wrote Landslide. The Landslide lyrics is amazing. But it wasn't the Stevie Nicks version. Dang you, Brady. So close.
Chicks. It was number 3. Like, it's not even the second best cover, or the first best cover.
Smash Pumpkins?
Yeah, the Pumpkins were number 2.
Yeah. Oh, there's probably been 10 others, right?
Well, yeah, but on Apple Music, it was number 3 in this version.
Tom Brady likes the chicks.
Maybe somehow it's not on Instagram. Maybe he had no choice but to go to this.
No, I checked.
Oh, it is on there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird then.
We've done more research on this than any of the other football
Clearly.
Do I hear something crazy about this song? Because I watched a Stevie Nicks documentary. She was 28 when she wrote this song. And it sounds like it's a lifelong, like, children grow up. Like, she didn't even really have children at the time.
She never has had children.
Yeah.
Stevie Nicks doesn't have
How did she write this song?
Well, Lindsey Buckingham will bring that out on you.
Yeah.
It was about Lindsey Buckingham, right?
Yeah. Well, no,
I think it was.
I think it was on their first album. I don't even think they had broken up yet.
It was on the deluxe album. Just because I bought the vinyl and I was very disappointed that it wasn't on it.
Well, anyway, it's just a very wise song. I feel like it's like middle-aged children grow up. And like she was like a very young person. She was in her 20s. I didn't know anything in my 20s. Ryan, you're in your 20s.
You barely have
any idea what's going on.
a couple weeks.
But he's singing it. Now, didn't EJ not know who Fleetwood Mac was? Isn't that one of the bands? And Ryan has the deluxe, like has the discography memorized.
No, I just have rumors because it's like one of the most famous albums of all time.
And EJ said, what?
What's Fleetwood rumors?
What's
more,
a Fleetwood
more Brady
Mac?
Rumors? What? another one pregnant?
He's back with Bridget. No, just kidding. That'd be a landslide. Bogish has headlines.
The Yankees are already in rare company, just the 4th team out of 25 to avoid a World Series sweep. None of the previous 3 got to Game 6. That is their goal tonight after extending their season with last night's 11-4 decision over the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman hit another two-run first-inning homer, but Anthony Volpe put the Yankees in front for good with a third-inning grand slam. Then Gleyber Torres removed all doubt in the eighth.
Here's the 1-1 to Gleyber. A fly ball to deep right. Betts going back. That ball is gone! It's Gleyber Day.
John Sterling on Yankee Radio, the three-run homer, capping off a five-run eighth for that 11-4 final. Jazz Chisholm on Seeing Another Day.
I feel like we came out, we attacked them. We got ready early to try and go out there, Volpe with a big swing. I mean, all-around great game from everybody.
Tonight's pitching matchup, the same from Game 1. Jack Flaherty, Gerrit Cole, first pitch in the Bronx, scheduled for 8:08 Eastern.
Man, what are we going to do about Sterling?
That does not sound good going towards Game 5.
Chicken noodle soup.
I mean, there's a couple broadcast things you can do. Just water is the best thing. You just got to chug water. But yeah, also, you can get, like, steroids.
Yes. And there's, like, you know, there's teas and, like, cough drops that have extra special stuff like that. But, yeah, that doesn't sound good.
But the game's 3.5 hours long. So you heard the eighth inning sounded way worse than the first.
And then has to maybe get back on a plane and do another game. And, like, the plane, I'm sure, is not great for all of that. Not good. There is now an arrest warrant for Lions wideout Jameson Williams, who is currently serving a 2-game PED suspension after a 6-game gambling ban last season. Williams was riding in a car that was pulled over October 8th in Detroit. There was a gun under his seat, which he told police about, but he did not have a concealed carry permit. He was apparently incorrectly released from custody that night. A local TV station began asking questions, and now Detroit PD is responding.
This guy might be bad news.
This might actually... This doesn't seem like the worst one to me. Like, a lot of people drive illegally with a gun in their car. I'm not saying it's good.
I know, but it's just he can't stay out of this.
Is it the accumulation of things with him?
Well, I mean, the gambling stuff you could almost blame on just kind of stupidity.
Right.
But it's actually, to be fair, it's better that he came clean about the gun being in the car to the cops. You don't want to lie about something like that.
Right. This is like paperwork, like a clerical error more than like actual like mischievous criminal behavior. And since he did, they both said right away, him and his brother in the car, that the guns were there. But it's just, it's a lot in like 2.5 years to start your career.
Still, that being said, like, there's not, he doesn't have the one final nail in the coffin yet on his career. Like, he's okay right now.
Yeah, I mean, the PED thing, which he said he took, you know, accidentally, which is everybody's story. Like, that's the one thing where he seems to maybe have directly, knowingly broken a rule that matters.
Well, he should have the paperwork for the gun.
Yeah, I feel like the gun thing is like...
Don't they do those Ricky symposiums and stuff? Yeah. I think they go through this kind of thing.
Yeah, but we know so many athletes carry guns, right?
I know, but that you can do it legally. No one's saying take it away from them. It's just do it legally. Go through the proper channels.
Nikola Jokic's latest crazy stat line came last night in Brooklyn.
Inside the arc over to Jokic. Jokic goes to work. He gets in the paint. Hook shot. Good! 8.8 seconds left to go. Denver ties the ball game up at 125.
That's Jason Kosmiski on Nuggets Radio. Jokic forcing OT, where Denver won 114-139 after trailing by 17 in the first half to the Nets. He finished with 29 points, 18 rebounds, and 16 assists. Only Oscar Robertson had a game with that many of all three. Kyrie and Luka combining for 59 points as the Mavs down the T-Wolves 121-14. And the Warriors rallied from 20 down in the first half to beat the Pelicans 124-106. Zion scored 31 in defeat. And from the NHL, Alex Ovechkin that much closer to Wayne Gretzky.
Here's a puck turned over. Protas in front, and he scores! It's Ovechkin! Off the faceoff! Protas feeds it across! It's a multi-goal game for the Great Eight!
John Walton on Caps Radio. Ovechkin scoring twice in a 5-3 win over the Rangers. He now has 856 career goals, which means he needs 38 to pass Gretzky for the most all time. Guys, back to you.
So when are they going to start making some kind of arrangements for what is hockey going to do to commemorate this? I imagine Wayne's going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, the way, based off of what he did last year, he's not going to score 38 more goals this year. Like, it's not guaranteed to happen this year. So I don't know how.
Multi-goal games, though.
Yeah, I don't know how far along the path of planning that they are, but it makes no sense that this is even feasible. Like, nobody thought 890 whatever was ever touchable. And this guy is well within striking distance.
Yeah, and I think Gretzky's going to be gracious about it.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too.
You know,
he has every other award, so
that's true.
In record,
but you know, this is a tough one because when someone's chasing something like this, and you're not exactly sure what's going to happen, you remember back to when Aaron Judge was chasing the American right. League home run record, and basically, I'm blanking.
Dragging the Maris family.
Yeah, the Maris family had to go to Canada. Yeah. Like, they had already done the whole Mid-Atlantic region waiting for him to hit it in Baltimore, and then had to get the passports out to go to Toronto.
They got a lot of free tickets to baseball games. I think that was fun for them.
Yeah. I'm sure they've been to playing baseball games. They are the Marises.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's like being a clown and get a ticket to the circus.
Yeah, I don't know. The Yankees did not embrace the Marises for a long time. They were not not super friendly to that, to Roger.
That is true. St. Louis, though, always loved them. I mean, like, they were there for the McGuire stuff.
Yeah, but you would think they've been to a few games. But, yeah, they ended up having to basically go globetrotting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they famously, like, the Marises got screwed by the Yankees, right? Yeah. Isn't that the thing? But, yeah, I don't know. I'll go for a ride if somebody wants to take me. I'll follow Ovechkin around.
Put that on a T-shirt. Andrew Ruff, I'll go for a ride if someone wants to take me. What are you, Labrador Retriever?
Like, have you seen the Marises at any game since?
Sure, they don't want to go back. That's my point.
They're going to baseball games. They're not going to the dentist's office. It sounds like fun.
They're the tapping family. Out.
By the way, the camera's too busy trying to find Jabroni 1 and Jabroni 2, who were interfering with Mookie Betts last night, to have any time for the Marises. 855-212-4227. Okay, we've got lots to do, including see you guys on the phone. We're asking today's great debate, the worst tap outs of all time. Get back to you next. So much going on today. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Got a lot of different things on the burners here. So we got a question for you. If the Yankees win tonight, does the pressure now go squarely on the Dodgers as the series would go back to LA? Yankees have Gerrit Cole on the mound tonight. They're ace. We have a great debate for you. The worst tap out in the history of sports. This is loosely inspired by Anthony Richardson, who took himself out of the game on Sunday. That's not one of the worst.
No. That was relatively harmless, although he might have gotten benched for it. We have some all-timers here.
Yeah. You have Scottie Pippen.
I think mine is the best piece of the actual moment. 1.8 seconds left in a decisive, not as a key playoff game, but I think EJ's is the funniest.
Yeah, Antonio Brown leaving that Jets game was an all-timer because of how insane it was. But mine is Roberto Duran literally said, no mas.
Also, that's big because that was one of the biggest fights in history because Duran, it was the only person who could beat Sugar Ray Leonard.
And no one remembers now, the generation later, that Duran was one of the great boxers of all time.
Oh, I think people remember. There's a movie recently about Hands of Stone. Like, people remember he's one of the greats.
But I think the shorthand, if someone says Roberto Duran, you were just doing word association, it'd be no mas, not Sugar Ray Leonard 2, you know?
Whatever. I would think that
Raw in Montreal.
But people know he was great, I hope. He was all time. I'm a big Sugar Ray Leonard fan. I'll watch any documentary, any film of him. Awesome.
Charles in Maine has one we have not mentioned yet. Hey, Charles.
Hi, good morning. Late to the show, so I apologize. I would have said Roberto Duran as well. I remember watching that on ABC's Wide World of Sports when it happened, and Howard Cosell was broadcasting it, and it was unbelievable at the time, back in 82. But I have an alternative spin here. The worst non-tap-out in the history of sports was Matt Harvey insisting on going back out for the ninth inning in the 2015 World Series, and
that's the
should have tapped out.
Charles, that will be another great debate. Thank you. Sorry, we're up against it, but talking your way back into a game is the opposite, but there was Matt Harvey also didn't show up once for a game because it was Cinco de Mayo. Now, he was having a little too much fun in New York City. But we also got onto a topic about bad fan behavior because of the two Yankee fans last night who tried to wrestle the ball away from Mookie Betts in foul territory. Our pal Big Friendly is on the line. We were asking, is fan behavior worse today than it was back in the day? Big Friendly, what do you think?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, Magsy. And Bogsy, I'm glad you're back and healthy. And if I would have known you better, I would have sent you a text asking you how you were doing. So, real quick, since I'm older, yeah, Bogsy, I'm still upset about that Rams draft answer you gave me. So real quick, I'm 48, so I'm older than all of you guys except Bogish. And I remember going to games in the 80s. And today, I think with the prices increased you guys talk about, fans seem more entitled. Now, I'm not upset about the gentleman fighting for the ball in the glove with Betts, because I think anybody who's been to a game has all been guilty of being overzealous to try to get to a ball. But the gentleman grabbing his wrist, he should be excavated from any sports anywhere.
No, wait, yeah, friendly, hold on. They're both in the wrong. You can't let one of these dudes off the hook.
Wait.
No.
It's a tag team, right? Like, that's what's unique about this. The two guys are working in tandem. It's amazing.
Yeah. Now, look. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you're right. It's the worst ever, because there were two of them to me. This is the worst fan interference I've ever seen.
It was coordinated and calculated. Yes. Big Friendly, we found out from the ESPN article that these two dudes sit around sometimes hatching a plan of what would happen if a ball comes their way, and they said they would D him up.
Well, that's fine. Like I said, I'm not upset about going for the ball. Like, I don't agree with the gentleman ripping it out of his glove, but we've all been guilty of trying to get a ball being over-aggressive. The gentleman grabbing Mookie Betts offhand, that is unacceptable.
Yeah.
But apparently,
thank you for taking my...
Oh, you too. Big Friendly, thanks for calling. But apparently, they're going to be, according to them, they're welcome back to the game tonight.
I think Big Friendly is saying when you're fighting with a fellow fan, it's okay. I do think, like, that's a real topic, like... If a third baseman comes, that happens a lot. Like, how respectful do you have to be to that third baseman, especially if he's on the other team?
Yeah, I would risk getting, like, roasted by my home fans, but you got to clear back.
Ideally,
I think you hold people back, like, you know.
But also, let's face it, a lot of times it's not about rooting for one team or the other. It's wanting to get that foul ball. Because you know, the third baseman for the Twins has caught a lot of foul balls in his life. I would want that foul ball to bring home. You know, that's what they're really going for most of the time.
Oh, man. I don't know if we have enough time to do this. We do? Okay, so off the topic of fan behavior and unruly fan behavior, we thought this was just so funny. If you guys aren't paying attention to Joe Mazzulla, the head coach of the Celtics, we're not even saying you have to watch the Celtics game. We're talking about this dude, and some of the things he says are just bananas. Joe Mazzulla, on a radio interview yesterday, says he thinks the NBA should allow fighting.
Some people are, from an entertainment standpoint, is you can't fight anymore. I wish you just bring back, like, fighting.
I'm sorry, what did you say? He said, yeah, fighting is entertaining.
I mean, you want to talk about robbing the league of entertainment. What's more entertaining than a little scuffle?
I agree.
How come in baseball they're allowed to throw the benches? How come in hockey they're allowed to fight? I don't understand.
Is that McAfee?
No, this was 98.5, the hub in Boston.
Yeah, he's in Boston. This dude's a madman.
That guy's like, I agree.
That's Boston for you.
Right. Oh, just like square off after and every time out. No, listen, hockey, it's ingrained in the culture.
Hockey is way more complicated than that. There are a lot of people who think the sport is worse without the real fighting.
Yeah, guys are wearing helmets at least to start a lot of these fights. I don't know. The benches clearing in baseball, guys get ejected for that. There are often consequences, in bad consequences, when that kind of stuff happens, if guys start throwing punches. I'm telling you, if David Stern were still alive, rest his soul, he would call up Joe Mazzulla and he would scream at him for an hour for saying something like this. Like, what coach is advocating for people to fight? It's like, I'm sorry, so do you want Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum to, what, break a jaw?
That's the weird thing, too. He doesn't really have enforcers on that team.
Yeah, Marcus Smart is gone.
Right. The only guy I've seen fight is Porzingis, and he was leaving a club in Poland bloodied up. Like, I don't think he's got guys I want to throw down.
Mazzulla is a trip.
He might be passing Doc Rivers for, like, wild, weird things being said. We might have to find something for Mazzulla every day.
Mm-hmm. I think we got to take our segment away from WTF Aaron Rodgers and give it to Mazzulla.
Maybe.
Rodgers, like, it's kind of irrelevant now.
Though he did say, you know, he's eating cayenne pepper and drinking water, and that's making him healthy thanks to Thomas Morstead. So we had that. I think Rodgers will hang around for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, if it's not inducing some kind of psychedelic nightmare, that I'm not really interested. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Ryan Botcher, Andrew Bogish. So glad to have him back. Andrew Kaplan, Widows and Coffee Drinkers. See you tomorrow.
What happened?